the Gospel by John, chapter 2, and at verse 1, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, when they needed wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it." Chapter 4, please. And we'll just take out a verse or two from the story of the woman at the well. Verse 15, please, of chapter 4. "The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." A final reading in chapter 5. Now we're at the pool of Bethesda, verse 3, please. "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." In chapter 2 and verse 3, we read a statement, "They have no wine." In chapter 4, we read a statement, "Sir, I have no husband." And in chapter 5, the man at the pool said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool." I want you to think with me for a little while then tonight on these 3 statements. They have no wine. I have no husband. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. It's significant that these statements come up in this great Gospel of John. This is the Gospel of the Son of God, where there is no limitation to his love and to his power. And in this great gospel, he is going to marvelously display and demonstrate that although they are inadequate, and the world is incapable of helping them, and the religious world can do nothing for them, thank God there was one amongst them who was able to help them. I want to speak to you first of all about no supply to satisfy. They have no wine. This wedding is purely an illustration to us of conditions spiritually and religiously in Israel at that time. It was bereft of real satisfaction and true pleasure. They were going on with ritualism and formalism, and they were doing this and that and so on, but there was no real joy in the life. It's like our world today, isn't it? There is an abundance of activity. There is a tremendous amount of religiosity. There are so many things going on to try and bring people to a point of satisfaction and pleasure-filled lives. But they are inadequate. There is nothing in this world, and we've to learn, that will utterly and fully and perfectly and permanently satisfy the soul. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. And his mother recognized they have no wine, and she makes it known to the Lord Jesus immediately. I want you to notice, first of all, that the Savior demonstrates his power to save. There was a great need to be met, and he was the only man who could meet it. And friend, tonight, whatever your need is, and your central need, your deepest need, your greatest need tonight, is the need of God's salvation. I wish you would learn that tonight, if you've never learned it before. Learn it tonight, that you have a tremendous need deep within your soul and deep within that personal life of yours. But we want to tell you also that there is one who can demonstrate his power to save, to meet that need. Then I want you to notice another thing. He demonstrates his power to satisfy. The man, the governor of the wedding, in control of it, when he got this wine from the bridegroom, supposing that they had provided it, he said, "This is strange. At every other wedding I've been at, they give the best wine at the beginning, and when everybody else has drunken so much that they don't know the taste of it, they bring an inferior wine in." But he said, you've kept the best wine until now. Little did he know that it wasn't the bridegroom that met the need. It wasn't anybody else in that at that wedding feast that brought such wonderful wine to them. It was the Son of God who was moving in their midst. And he's demonstrating not only his power to save, but his power to satisfy. My friend, it's a very real thing. Not only to be saved and bound for heaven, but to be completely satisfied in your soul, so that you wish no more. And only the Lord Jesus can give you that. It's found in Him alone. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearn for them, not thee. But while I passed my Savior by, His love laid hold on me. Now, none but Christ can satisfy. You younger people in the meeting room tonight, would you love to be thoroughly, completely satisfied in your soul? So that you seek not the empty, sinful, disturbing pleasures of the world. We want to introduce you tonight to the Savior Himself. You'll only find that in Christ. Number three, I want you to notice he demonstrated his power to sustain. In verse 5, he said, "Draw out now." The idea in that expression is, keep drawing out and you'll get as much as you desire and as much as you need. Isn't that true, Christian friend? Some of you have been saved for how long? 30, 40, 50 years? haven't you discovered to your utmost delight that He's still saying to you, draw out now. Continue to draw from Me these ceaseless pleasures, the satisfying portion. My friend tonight, you can have that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking the other day there about an illustration on this point. My mind went to a dear woman in the Old Testament called Hagar. And she had a little boy, just like the little boys that come to her gospel meeting, a little child. And she was cast out of her home, Abram's home. And she went into the wilderness. And she's looking at her child and they've got nothing left. All she's got is a little bottle of water. And she gave it to her child. And she put him under a tree and left him there to die. And herself die in misery. All of a sudden, there came a voice from heaven. And we read that God opened Hagar's eyes. And what did she see? A bottle of water? No, she saw a well of water. My friend tonight, that's what you can find in the Lord Jesus. You younger people, you've been seeking this and seeking that and seeking something else. But there's a void. There's a vacancy. There's a vacuum. You know what it is you need? You need a satisfying Savior. Would you come to Him tonight and trust Him and make Him your own? They have no wine, but He can fully satisfy. Number two, the next story was not the wedding now, but the well. The woman at the well. Isn't it a fascinating story? I want you to notice three simple things about this dear woman. First of all, I want you to think about the pity or the love of God that knows no racial barriers. And it knows no barriers of any kind. Social barriers, color barriers, racial barriers, financial barriers, religious barriers. There are no barriers with the grace of God. It leaps over every boundary and every barrier and comes out to all of us in all our blatant needs, in all our great need of salvation. God doesn't take into consideration our status, but thank God He takes into consideration our sinnership. And tonight, friend, this story tells me, among other things, that the Lord Jesus is manifesting a divine pity that goes beyond all barriers, all distinctions. So no matter who you might be tonight, the grace of God can save you, and the power of the gospel can reach you, and the blood of Christ can cleanse you and fit you for heaven. Then I want you to notice from the story, we also learn that the provision of God knows no human limitations. Isn't that great? It knows absolutely no limitations of any kind. The woman said to the Lord Jesus, she said, "Sir, Thou hast nothing to draw with." You see, the woman can only talk on limitations. Thou hast nothing to draw with. And deep within the Lord Jesus is saying to Himself and wishing to convey to the woman, "Woman, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that speaketh to thee, thou wouldst have asked of Him." My friend, there are no limitations with the Savior tonight. You say, "My need is great. My sins are many. My situation is dangerous. It doesn't matter what your need is, the extent of it, the extravagance of it. We want to tell you tonight, there are no limitations with God's provision of salvation. Isn't that great to know that? There is not a man or woman in this wide world tonight who's beyond the reach of God's saving grace. Not one. You can be saved tonight in the meeting. God wants to save you. The Lord Jesus made it possible. And we are praying that that will be your blessed experience tonight. Then, thirdly, I want you to notice the penetration of God knows no undiscovered secrets. The Lord begins to speak to the woman intimately. He said, go call your husband. The woman's honest. I don't know the extent of her life, but I know she's honest. She said to the Lord Jesus, I have no husband. The Lord Jesus said, you've had five husbands. They might well have been legitimate, I don't know. But the man you are now living with is not your husband. That's not right, to be living with another man who is not your husband. In that saidst thou truly. And immediately, the penetrating work of conviction is being wrought deep within this dear sinner's soul. My friend, I'm glad God convicted me of my sin. Do you feel convicted about your need and your sins tonight? You thank God for that. He's bringing you to a realization that you need His pardon, that you need His provision, and He's penetrating deep into your conscience, and He's telling you things are not right between you and God, but they can be right. And that's why the Savior came. The power of God knows no insurmountable objects. And He reached over the woman's foul need and went beyond her greatest guilt. For the grace of God goes beyond our greatest human guilt and brings pardon and peace to all who will believe. And the woman got it, friend. She went into the city and she told all and sundry, come, see a man which told me, here's the point, all things that ever I did. That's the quickening point. Is not this the Christ? If you're concerned about your sins tonight and concerned about your soul, God is doing that for one reason, that He might draw you to the Savior. Then finally, the third story is the man at the pool in chapter 5. I have no man to help me. And here we've got the no source of strength. Absolutely no source of strength. He's been there for 38 years. It's kind of a picture to us of the law doing good to satisfy God's requirements. It's like millions in our world tonight. Buddhism and all the other isms. They're all trying this way and that way to approximate to a condition that's acceptable to God, or the accumulation of human merit that will satisfy God and bring them into heaven at last. But we have to learn that we have no strength at all. If we're going to be saved, only God can do it. I want you to notice three little things here. The pool that said, God is still living. You see, everything around the man was all marked by death. And the religious thing that should have helped them was completely inadequate. Nobody could help. But this story tells us that there is a God who is still alive and able to help. Then the next thing is, there's the power that said, God is still listening. He's listening to every word, every sense of our awakened need, every confession of our lost condition. And the Lord Jesus is waiting for the man to make a statement about his condition. And finally, it comes out, Sir, I have nobody to help me. I want to say to you Christians tonight, aren't you glad you reached that point when we were yet without strength? In due time, we learned that Christ died for the ungodly. Don't try to do, younger people. It's not trying to do this. It's just coming in all your confessed, acknowledged need and total weakness and resting your all upon the Savior and His sacrifice and saying, He did it all for me. He died in my stead. This brings me finally to my last point. The preacher who was at the pool, the Lord Jesus, the preacher that said, God still loves. My friend, he loved that dear man as he looked down deep into, beyond his human frailty and feebleness. Away deep within his soul, the Lord Jesus is looking. He said, Man, rise, take up thy bed and walk. The man responded to the power and love of the preacher, the Lord Jesus. And he stood up and he walked. I want you to tell you tonight, friend, there is a loving, living, lasting Savior. He came all the way from heaven, went to Calvary to bleed and die for us. For there was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. He's alive at God's right hand. He knows your need. He's acquainted with your powerlessness, your inability to help yourself, and nobody else can help you. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for his soul. For the ransom of the soul is costly and we must leave it alone forever. But there is one who's got the love and the power. And as you listen to Mr. Bentley tonight, tell how God can do this. Tell of the Savior's wonderful death at Calvary and provision for the sinner. May God help you to take it in tonight. Make it your own. Embrace the Savior. Make Him personal and real to your soul tonight. And enter into the good of being saved and being fully satisfied.